Today's scripture is written in Mark chapter 16, 9 through 15. 今日的经文是记载在马可福音第16章9节到15节。When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told them to those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. They returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11th as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and the stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into the world and preach the good news to all creation." The second passage is recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He ends the reading. May God bless those who listen to his words.
Thank you, Thomas. I hope you're not wondering, why are we still reading passages about Easter and about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? After all, wasn't it just about, you know, a couple of weeks ago that we celebrated Easter and have a memorable dedication of the walls outside and the cross on top of our building? In a way, that is a good question. But for believers, we read from the Easter passages not just around Easter, not a once a year or, you know, twice a year thing. Easter for believers is an everyday reality. And if you have not already, you know, look at the sermon title, you probably have gathered that, you know, from the two passages that Thomas was reading, that this morning we're going to be looking at one very, you know, special topic. That is death itself. It is a morbid topic. It is not a very popular one. And usually we don't hear much about, you know, or messages about death unless we go to funeral services. But we need to, as believers, take time to think about death because Scripture has a lot to say about it. We need to look at this topic because, let's face it, we are all going to die. We are all going to die one day. We need to look at this topic because, you know, for Christians, the Bible says there is a much, much better way, much, much, you know, much more uplifting way to look at this topic. And thirdly, we need to study this topic because, you know, receiving comfort and instructions from the Word of God, maybe there will be an opportunity for us to share and pass on the same comforts to others who need it later on. So from the passage that Thomas was reading in Mark chapter 16, you know, it talks about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you notice that it doesn't matter which group of individuals Jesus was talking to, the emphasis is always on death has been destroyed. This person who once died is now very, very much alive. He has risen and he is no longer dead. Jesus went through death, yes, but he also conquered death and he has returned to life again. Let us pray before we go on. Father, we thank you for this awesome and powerful reminder that even though sometimes we think very little about death and dying, even though sometimes we see news of people dying because of violence, because of sicknesses, accidents, and that we do not pause to think about death, but yet, Lord, you have already done something about it. You sent Jesus to die on the cross, and because of that, we have hope. We have resurrection and we have power, all because you love us. So today, even though we are looking at this very morbid subject, encourage us, build our faith up, and also gladden our hearts because our hope and our trust is in you, the God who is eternal and immortal. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We only read one passage from the four Gospels. If you read the other passages in the other four Gospels, you would find that, you know, not only in this passage, but in other places too, Jesus also appeared to other people. For instance, Jesus appeared specifically to Thomas. We look at that passage at the English service two Sundays ago. We also know that if you read a little bit further down in that chapter, you know, John chapter 21, Jesus also appeared to Peter and a few other disciples who were so frustrated that, you know, they went out fishing because they needed something else to do. So every time when you see Jesus appear, Jesus reminded them that, you know, he has come back from dead and he's a real Jesus. Let's face it, of all the fears that, you know, puzzles and frightens modern men and women, no fear is stronger than death. Historians and sociologists tell us that, you know, the time that we live in is one of the bloodiest in history. For instance, today, a military general can push a button, you know, somewhere in the remote part of the world, and a cruise missile or a bomb can go off somewhere else and hit the target. Killing is a lot easier now because we are very sophisticated in making weapons, such as weapons of mass destruction. We can use these weapons to take out an entire city block, even an entire city. So we know that, you know, killing or death, there is plenty of it. But where is the resurrection? We know how to kill, but we do not know, as individuals and as a human race, we do not know how to die. This is why when we are faced with death, whether it is happening in our own circle or, you know, in a friend's circle, we do not quite know what to say or what to do most of the time. It is a topic that we do not usually like to talk about. But precisely because of that, we thank God for Easter. Because Easter tells us that Jesus is the one person who went into the kingdom of death and who came back alive. And he has the answer for us to no longer have to fear death itself. So just now, in the passage that Paul wrote to Timothy and the church in Ephesus, Paul reminded Timothy that, you know, very clearly, Jesus has destroyed death. Let us pause for just a little bit of time, you know, just a little while to consider these words. Jesus has destroyed death. You look at that passage, and it is all very hopeful, very powerful, and very encouraging. But in reality, there is one slight problem. Regardless of what the Bible says in this passage, we know that death does not seem to have been destroyed. People still die every day. Cemeteries fill up, a new one opens up. There is no end of funeral homes, mortuaries, wakes, and loved one weeping. There is no end of strokes, cancer, death, violence, and bombs. You know, if you don't believe it, just, you know, turn to the Washington Post today. You find dozens and dozens and dozens of death notices. So death, we have aplenty. But where is the resurrection that the Bible talks about? How can we say that death has already been destroyed? The way Paul reminded Timothy, when so many continue to die. And our question is that, you know, if death has been destroyed or abolished, why do we still die? Why do we still die? Very simple and very basic. The answer from Scripture is that from Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us that death entered into this world through one person's sin, that is Adam. And because Adam chose to disobey God, the whole human race and the whole world, the whole universe, had become alienated, rebelling against God. And as a result of disobedience, since we did not choose God, therefore we did not choose life. And as a result, we merited death. Here it tells us that, you know, the one reason why all of us continue to die is because we are all sinners. We are all sinners. When, you know, the coroner, you know, gives you the death certificate. If you look at it, you'll find that, you know, a certain part of the death certificate says, you know, cause of death. It may be old age, it may be accident, it may be some other causes. But all these are symptoms and signs of the one basic simple cause, S-I-N, sin. Because we have sinned, and therefore we experience death. So going back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, in what sense did Jesus abolish or destroy death? The word translated in this passage, you know, destroy, means literally powerless, to make powerless, you know. Probably a good illustration is to think about your cell phone. Practically everyone has one of these now. You use it, you carry it, you know, and it is indispensable. But every now and then when the battery gets weak, you need to recharge it, you know. You recharge it, and then you can use it for hours or for days later on. When Jesus died on the cross, and he rose from the dead, and he appeared to many other people, and he's now seated at the right hand of God, a place of prominence, of worship and power, what Jesus essentially did is that, you know, Jesus, and this is death, Jesus yanked off the cord from the cell phone. There is still power in the cell phone. Except that, you know, sooner or later, this cell phone or death is going to die and completely. And because Jesus has thrown away the cord, you would never be able to find another cord to recharge your phone. You would never be able to find another cord to give death its own power again. One day, therefore, Scripture says, you know, without this cord, because of what Jesus has done, death is going to die for sure. On Good Friday, did Jesus die? Definitely. Was he not buried? Yes, he was. Did the women not weep? They did. But the good news on Easter Sunday, and every day is that, you know, on Easter Sunday, there was an empty tomb in the cemetery. Jesus makes sure that it was empty because he rose from the dead. So there is the good news, because on Easter Sunday, and as a result of Jesus' resurrection, believers, Christians know that we have hope in the Lord Jesus. Death no longer is able to keep Jesus. Death no longer is able to control, intimidate, or frighten Jesus. And because Jesus is the God of life, he's a king immortal and eternal. And all those who put their trust and life in him would also experience immortality and life. Jesus had to die so that he could yank off the cord from death. He died the way we died. He was actually dead, literally dead, completely dead. But God uses his power from that state of death to bring him back to life and life eternal. And because Jesus has walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he was able to be our guide every step and every turn. He was able to make sure that, you know, we have a banquet prepared before us. He's able to make sure that loving kindness, mercies, and life eternal would be blessings from God to us. So one day we know that from what the Bible teaches us, death will die. There is still a little bit of power, still a little bit of operation going on in death itself. But one day death itself would be completely dead itself. Over 100 years ago, people were oohing and eyeing over a new invention. You know, probably some of us don't remember this invention now. It is called a phonograph. Back then, you know, pictures were not easy to come by. So one way of remembering loved one is that, you know, before they die, you record their voices. You recorded their voices, you know, and then later on, even though they have, you know, been gone a while, you are able to play back their voices and listen to them over and over and over again. This was a new invention about 130 years ago, and people love it. One more way to remember and not forget loved ones. You know, today we live in a very, very sophisticated world. Instead of, you know, a phonograph, we have digital recording, and even better still, we can send live pictures zipping around the globe in seconds. There are over 6 billion people on Earth, but scientists are able to distinguish every individual one of them by the unique DNA. Science is so advanced. Imagine that if human being can do this and more, God can definitely do much more. What can God do? God can raise the dead. It sounds impossible, but God can raise the dead. He did it once, and he's going to do it again. What is death like for Christians? Christians and death. 4,000 years ago, a believer asked the same question. If a person dies, is he going to live again? If a person dies, is he going to live again? And Jesus on Easter Sunday says, yes, yes, yes. He is going to live again. She is going to live again. The Bible tells us that the sting of death is sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, let's also think about that picture for a little while, you know. I don't know whether you've been ever stung by a bee or a wasp and things like that. When I was growing up, you know, it was nightmarish for me because every now and then, you know, I would step on a bee and whatever and got stung and then I couldn't walk for days. And this is why I developed at that time a little bit of a phobia for hospitals, you know. Every now and then I have to be seen by a doctor because of that. So when I see bees, you know, I would just kind of go the other direction. How do you take the poison out of stings, out of bee stings? One way to do it is that, you know, you get stung and you remove the sting by, you know, yourself. And therefore, the bee can no longer sting you. Jesus did exactly that. Jesus got stung by death. And by being stung by death, Jesus absorbed all the poisons and all the venom and all the power of death. So that next time, death will not be able to have power over other people. Death no longer has any more poison for us. Death is no longer a curse, but a blessing. And this is why in the scriptures, the Bible deliberately and very clearly says that for believers, for Christians, when we die, what does it say? We are only asleep. We are sleeping, which means that one day we are going to be waking up. And we're going to be seeing God with our own naked eyes. And people also ask, when you resurrect, when you come back to life again because of the power of God, would it be the same body for believers? The answer is yes, but it's a huge yes, because we are going to receive a greatly, greatly, greatly improved body. That is good news for all of us, because in the passage that Paul reminded Timothy with, Paul says, because of Jesus' resurrection, believers are going to receive life and immortal body, a perfect body. Today we have 5 senses. Some people claim they have 6 senses, you know. But maybe in our perfect state of physical condition, we would have 500 senses. Who knows? Probably a good illustration is that of computer software. You know how companies are always coming up with new versions, you know? New versions that runs a lot faster, a lot safer, a lot more compatible, a lot less system failure prone. Imagine that, you know, right now, here is Charles Koo, version 7. But because I'm a work in progress, God is continuing to, you know, God is working on me all the time. So as I grow, mature, and wiser, hopefully as a believer in Jesus Christ, you know, I can see more and more of the beauty and power of God. But one day God is saying that, you know, Charles Koo or CK version 7 is no longer good. I have finally, you know, invented CK version 12. It is going to be the perfect version. It is going to be compatible. It is completely system failure proof, you know. It is the best. There is no need to work on it anymore. And that is a little bit of what Bible has for us. That one day, the body that you now have, you may not like parts of it. You may wish that you are, you know, bulkier or slender or whatever. But one day God says that, you know, I can't quite tell you yet. But at least this much you know. One day you're going to have a perfect body. One day you're going to have a perfect body. Something to look forward to. How is God going to do it? We have no idea. God doesn't tell us a lot about it in his word. But this is where faith comes in. This is where trust comes in. And this is why Jesus matters all the more. We believe in the resurrection because we have seen and Jesus resurrected and telling us that, you know, believe in me. If there were no mysteries, we would not believe it. Would you like to believe a God who only does things that you understand? Sometimes God does a lot of things that are beyond our comprehension and appreciation, but he would continue to do all these kind of things so that one day, with perfect knowledge and understanding, we look back, we said, oh, now I understand, because God has put all the pieces together. And death for believers is one of those puzzles that God is going to, you know, be putting together so that we can look back and say, now I understand. Now I appreciate, and what an awesome, loving God he is. Other people also know that, remind us that, you know, not only are we going to receive a new body, but we will be inhabiting a new heaven and earth. Romans chapter 8 says, you know, the whole creation, like human race, is also fallen. The whole creation is waiting to be redeemed, to be saved by God, and God is going to give us a new heaven and a new earth in Revelation. Another question. We will recognize each other. You know, sometimes you hear of stories, you know, so-and-so became a believer, or because his or her great-great-great-grand-uncle or mother or whatever was the first believer in that family. You hear stories like that, and you are amazed at how God worked through the generations. But you know, you do not know what the first believer in that family looked like. One day, we know that once you get to heaven, even though there were so many believers there, you would know everyone. Why do we say that? Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 9. Let's read this together. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. The point to note is that, you know, these 3 disciples heard about Elijah and Moses for a long, long time. It's the stuff that they grew up with. But they had no idea what Moses and Elijah looked like. But they were able to recognize that it was Moses and it was Elijah who appeared in glory with Jesus. If they could recognize Moses and Elijah, it tells us something that in heaven, when we are in God's full presence, we will be able to recognize, you know, that person. You know who Robert Morrison is? He's the first Protestant missionary from the West to China. You probably don't know much about him. You probably do not know what his picture looks like. But no problem. Once you get to heaven, you'll be able to say, you know, right there, Robert Morrison is over there, standing there. I know that guy. Hudson Taylor, you heard of the name from time to time. You have no idea what he looks like in the throne of people. But you can say that, you know, over there, Hudson Taylor is there. That is how wonderful being in heaven is like. You would know everyone. You will know everyone. There are no strangers in heaven. So we'll be able to recognize one another. One final note. Have you ever looked at the way caskets, coffins? I know it's a morbid story. Have you ever looked at the ways caskets and coffins were made? Have you ever noticed that when we bury a person, we do not put a latch inside the coffin? There is no lock inside the coffin. Why? Because dead people, including dead Christians, have no power to open the casket from within and walk out. But there is a latch outside, and God has the power to open all the coffins one day. And he's going to be tapping on the coffin and said, you know, yo, children, it's time to wake up. You have been sleeping long enough. Come. Receive your new body and join me and the rest of the believers. God is reserving that kind of joy and hope for us. No longer do we have to worry about flu, especially swine flu. No longer do we have to worry about, you know, cancers, strokes, distant memory, violence and bombs. They are all things of the past. We find that, you know, in God's heaven, perfect bodies do not need doctors. Perfect bodies have no broken bones, have no white hairs. Perfect bodies are just that, perfect bodies. So back to Job's question, if a person dies, will he live again? The answer is yes, yes, yes. As long as he knows the Lord Jesus, and as long as Jesus is his Savior and God. Those who know Jesus have nothing to fear when it comes to death. We are not afraid of darkness as believers because Jesus is the God of light. We are not afraid of the valley of the shadow of death because Jesus has personally guided us through the walk. We may die, but we won't stay dead forever. For Jesus has the key to life eternal. The question for us is, are you trusting in the person who rose from the dead? If Jesus is standing and knocking at the door of your heart and you have never received Jesus as your personal Savior into your life, this is the time to do so. If you have Jesus as your Savior, as your God, you do not have to worry, you do not have to fear death ever again. I extend to you a personal invitation to know the Lord Jesus Christ if you are not already a child of God. Every one of us has an appointment with death one day. But for believers, that is a reason for rejoicing and celebration, not for fear and tears, because we have put our trust in the one who has overcome death. Here is the final proof that death has been destroyed, that death has been rendered powerless. When Jesus rose from the dead, guess what he did? He left the tomb open. He left the tomb open. You still see the rock that used to, you know, shut off the tomb, but you see the inside of the tomb. He left it wide open. That means that, you know, we won't ever have to fight our way out of the grave when Jesus calls us to wake up. That means that Jesus has left the door open 2,000 years ago, and that is God's way of guaranteeing us that even though we die, we will never stay dead, not forever. For God says, when we die, we are only asleep. And when we open our eyes, there he is, right before our eyes, before our face, and we are in his presence. We thank God for the hope of resurrection. We thank God that for believers, death is not to be feared. We miss our loved ones, and maybe one day we are going to be joining them very soon. We don't know. But God is saying that, you know, once you have committed your life to me, trust me, I can handle that, and I will handle that with flying colors. So Jesus says, believe in God, believe in me also. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that Easter not only reminds us that Jesus is Lord and Lord and King of Kings, but Easter also tells us that Jesus has overcome death, not just for himself, but for every one of us. We pray, Father God, that if we fear death, help us to trust in Christ. Help us to know, O Lord, that you receive us when we come before you. And help us to know, Father, that there is no more fear that we need to experience, even though we may die today or tomorrow, because you have taken care of that for us. Father, we pray for you to remove fear. We pray for you, Father, to put your love, your tenderheartedness, and your comfort in hearts that misses loved ones. We pray, Father God, for you to make the resurrection and the hope of Jesus ever more alive and powerful again. And we pray, Father God, especially for our church family. We have lost loved ones over the years, some years ago and others just recently. But we pray, Father, that as a church, cause us to be filled with faith, because, Lord, you are the Lord of life and you are also the Lord of death. We pray for ourselves. We pray that you would continue to build us hope, build us up in hope, in love, and also in faith. Give to us, Father, eyes that would keep looking to Jesus Christ, for he alone has taken away our fear. He alone is preparing mansions for us. He alone promises we would never be left alone. We thank you, Father God, and we pray for our church, and we pray, Father, that you would continue to lead and guide us. Thank you that Jesus died for us, and because of that, we can rejoice. All in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.